All right. Good to see you guys. Welcome to Grace River. My name is Chris, and today I've got my son on stage with me, Jack. He's back from Bible college. Yeah, it's good to see Jack. Yeah. Warm reception for him. He's a first-time guest with us. I'm kidding, but it's good to have Jack with us, and I asked him to... We occasionally have a student read an opening passage of Scripture to dive into the sermon, and so I've asked Jack to come and do that. As I mentioned, Jack is a freshman at Mission University. It's in Springfield, Missouri, and he's studying to be a pastor, so it's pretty cool. I'll try to talk him out of it, but go ahead, Jack.
Awesome. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple
and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on."
Nice job. Let's get it for Jack. Thank you. Yeah, and hey, thank you guys for being here today. There's snow on the ground, and you still came to church. So I just want to say thank you. Way to go. You did it. You did it. You made it here. Really glad that you're here. It's cold as well, but what's great is we find out the heat works at church, so it's kind of nice. And you get enough warm bodies together, and it's warm, so it's great. But great to see you all, and I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. I ate too much, as you can tell, and kind of had to eat some more to work through my grief of my team losing, our team losing, right? We walked through all that together. We went through that together, didn't we? We did. I thought it was just going to be Paul's team. Paul's a Lions fan. They lost. And so I thought that you guys could give Paul a hug today because he needs help. But you don't have to hug me. I'm fine. We're going to be fine. We're going to get through it. It'll be fine. It's going to be awesome. But Baptism Sunday is coming up, man. I'm really pumped about that. That's next Sunday. And so not too late to sign up for that. It's going to be an amazing Sunday. Today I have a prop with me, and the prop is our giving boxes, and so I have one of our two giving boxes up here with me. This is one of the ways you can give at Grace River is through the giving drop box, and it happens to actually fit my sermon today, and so the story that Jack just read would have happened inside the temple gates, but outside of the temple. There was a place where people would give their offering, and there were 13 different boxes that you could actually drop your offering in. And to say boxes isn't the actual right term. They were basically trumpet-shaped collection boxes. And so they would have been shaped like a trumpet. Similar, I don't know, this is how old I am. You know, I see this social media trend. This is how many years old I am. This is how many years old I am. I used to go to McDonald's as a kid. That's how many years old I am. I know people still do that, right? But I'm actually shocked that a McDonald's French fry is more than 99 cents. Did anybody else recently go through that? Like, I went through the McDonald's drive-thru for my kids who are grown enough to pay for their own McDonald's. But all that to say, I found out that a McDonald's French fry, a large fry, is $4. I was like, what? Where's your dollar menu, yo? What's up with that? Like, they don't have a dollar menu. Anyways, all that to say, man, I just took a long blank there. I'm like, what just happened? I feel like it was Back to the Future or something. I didn't know what had just taken place, but my world was rocked when I realized a fry is $4. I mean, why would you ever go to McDonald's then? I don't know. I don't know why you would. Anyway, so I'm still trying to figure that out. But all that to say, when I went to McDonald's as a kid, they had those big yellow funnels for the Ronald McDonald House, and you would put your coin in it, and you could watch it like go around in a circle, right? So if you're too young to know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry, but if you're old like me, that's like a core memory. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. It's pretty crazy. I did a lot of McDonald's as a kid, and so I had an uncle who had Down syndrome, and so every night part of his routine was going to McDonald's. And so I went to, I mean, if I was with him, which I was with him a lot because he was like my best friend, I would go to McDonald's with him, and it was just so much fun. I never got sick of Happy Meals. I never got sick of those shakes. What's crazy is those shakes, when they melt, it's like mucus. Don't you think about that? It's really disgusting. Everything about McDonald's is this. It's good in the moment. Like those French fries. Oh, there's Dallas Cowboy fans here on Thanksgiving. Way to go. I was hoping I wouldn't see you. You've been so kind. Yeah, the Francos are here. It's good. Anyways, My gosh, that was tough. That was a tough loss. We'll get them next time. It's good. But man, I thought about you guys all day, how happy you were. Just thought about how happy you'd be. And that's friendship, whenever you can be happy for a friend. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there, and when I do, we'll be friends. It's good. But no, but in the Old Testament, they would gather at the temple, they would worship, and then after worship, they would give an offering back to God. And they would give these offerings, and they were kind of like that McDonald's funnel, only they were made of metal. They were like a trumpet, and so they'd make noise when you would give in them. Right? I always thought that'd be fun, like if these things, whenever you would give in, would make noise, you know, like maybe it's a drum beat, you know, or maybe it's laughter. Like, you know, giving should be joyful, right? But, you know, giving in those days would make a sound, you know, so people would give and you could hear it. Like you wouldn't just visually, you can hear that rattling around there, not much in there yet. Okay, cool. So yeah, it should be laughter, right? Like giving should be joyful, you know? Many of you give online, so that's why there's not much in here. But all that to say, like, this giving moment is great because it's a gratitude moment, you know? And when we think about Thanksgiving weekend, I think it's important that we consider thankfulness and gratitude, which go hand in hand. But gratitude, really, it's beyond just the way that you feel, right? It isn't just a feeling that we hold on inside. It's a faith response that we live out. Like, it's one thing to feel grateful. You know, I had a hard time on Thanksgiving because my team lost, to feel grateful. I just did, you know. We had some great turkey. We had some great mashed potatoes, some great stuffing, some great pie. Like, it was all good. It just didn't taste as good because we lost, right? But when it comes to gratitude, I think we're just really quick. In American culture, we're so fast to move past it. I mean, dadgum, we created a holiday called Black Friday, y'all, you know? And the idea behind it is to buy the stuff we don't need at 10% off. And we're like, man, I'm grateful, but dude, I need a Traeger grill, you know? Because next year I need to smoke my turkey, not put it in the oven, you know? Like, I've been thinking like that, you know? And I'm like, why am I not just grateful for what I have? Because God's given me so much. And I think the story that Jack shared, and I'm going to reread just so we can reiterate this, helps us to understand gratitude in a different way. That when I understand that everything I have comes from God, there is a it just kind of hits different, and it makes me understand, like, dude, there is something here that we're sometimes missing. And what I don't want for you is for you to start living a grateful life in 2026 when there's a whole month of 2025 left. And by the way, it's our Savior's birthday month. So with that, like, let's do something with it. Like, let's grow, let's make a commitment together to grow spiritually this month. Like, what if we did that? Like, more than just our waistline growth. Like spiritual growth. Thank you, five of you. Like we can do this, we can grow together, but it's gonna be important. If I'm gonna grow spiritually, I can't grow spiritually and be greedy. I can't grow spiritually and not be grateful. Like, gratefulness is a component of spiritual growth. It's really the action that happens as a result of spiritual growth. So I'm gonna reread this. I know Jack read it earlier, and he did a fine job, did a great job. But Mark chapter 12, I think this is important. We're gonna start in verse 41. This is great for our discussion today. And this is the end of Mark chapter 12, and it's the last thing that happens that Jesus is like impressed with in Mark's gospel before he goes to the cross. And I'm going to sit down because Jesus was sitting down telling this story when this is all unfolding, so this is pretty good. So verse 41, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped their money. Now, I think this is interesting because in the Old Testament, the person teaching would sit down and the listeners would stand. How crazy would that be? Like if you were all standing right now. I'm sitting. Anyways. Tough crowd on Thanksgiving. It's good. It's good. The turkey's still hitting you guys. So it's interesting. This is an interesting side note too. Many rich people put in large amounts. So again, you would hear it, right? Like, I think this is significant. As these people would give, Jesus is sitting. Can you imagine the pressure, by the way, of like what that would have been like? Like, you're giving and somebody's watching you. And oh, by the way, that someone is Jesus. I got some trash in here. It's not good. We're not going to give that. All right. So, like, it's just, you're kind of like making eye contact. Is this this enough? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're kind of like, you kind of feeling this moment with Jesus on like, hey, how am I doing here, right? So many rich people, they put in large amounts, and they would have done it in kind of a showy kind of way. They wouldn't have brought like a Ziploc bag full of change. I'm talking like jars of change, right? And they're dumping them in those McDonald's funnels, right? And they're making noise, and people are probably like, whoa, watch out, you know? But like, I don't know what the look on Jesus' face is, but he's not impressed by these wealthy people. Like, that's not what impressed him. Then in verse 42, we'll keep reading, this is good, verse 42. We find out this widow woman comes. Then he mentions that she's poor twice. Then a poor widow woman came and dropped in two small coins. Now, what we know about the coins that she drops in that day's money, those two coins would have equaled one penny. So it's a very negligible amount of money. Like, it's not anything in today's money. I mean, in fact, I made this joke in the first service last week, but the penny is actually being taken out of U.S. currency. Like, that's crazy. Like, it's such an insignificant amount of money that it's not even going to count towards anything anymore, right? Now, I feel bad because Penny Iannacone is in the back. She runs our tech booth stuff. She runs my slides today, so I don't want to talk bad about her because she'll get me stuck, which isn't good, right? But like, you know, like two pennies, the currency of that day is pretty crazy because like she drops in these two pennies and it's not even worth 1 cent. So she drops two coins in. And then this is where the story takes a wild turn in verse 43. This is crazy. Verse 43, Jesus calls a timeout. Look at this. Jesus called his disciples to him. He's still sitting down. And he said this, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others making contributions. Now, what's interesting is that the 12 disciples that are there that day, they're like, how did she gave two coins. These rich people were giving way more. So how does this calculate, you know, Matthew, the tax collector, would have been there? I think he probably would have had an objection. Like, wait a second, I know this coin thing. I know how to do math. They all knew math, right? Because, you know, they were fishermen, so they would have counted fish. They would have figured that out. That's a disgusting job, but they would have done all that. So it's hard for anyone in their mind to reconcile that she did more. How did she? Calculating that is actually impossible. But Jesus is doing a different kind of math. He's doing sacrificial math. Verse 44, which, by the way, if anybody knew anything about sacrifice, I think it's Jesus. Look at this in verse 44. So he says this. He says, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. He mentions it a second time. But she, poor as she is, has given everything that she had to live on. Everything. What'd she give? She gave it all. What's interesting is she gave it all for the same one that would one day give his all to her. And that's why I don't think generosity is all that crazy. And why I don't think that gratitude, like living a life of gratitude, is all that crazy either. Because like, it's only reasonable that I would give my own life back to the same God who gave me his life. That's not an unreasonable request. But yet, it's so difficult, even in this story, to talk about money in church, to talk about gratitude, to talk about generosity. Like, all this is tied together. It's amazing, isn't it? $100 at the mall feels like very little money. But $100 in church feels like a lot. Like, you're like, that's a big sacrifice, right? But at the end of the day, what it really boils down to is sacrifice. So that's why this story stands out. That's why this story is so significant. So I have four things this morning that I want to help you with unlocking gratitude in your life. Because I really do believe the antidote to greed is gratitude. Like, if you want to have a great December, you know, like more than a Lexus December to remember event, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to really live a December, nobody got it. One person smiled, right? That's crazy, isn't it? I watch those Lexus commercials, and I'm like, I should buy my wife a Lexus. Anyways, then I'm like, no, even if it's 4% APR, I don't even know. I don't need to do that, right? But, yeah, she has a Jeep. It's fine. That's fine. Lexus, who needs that? So if you have a Lexus, that's great. We should take a ride sometime. But Ultimately, though, what I need you to understand is gratefulness is not just a feeling I hold on the inside, but it's something that it's an action step that I live out. So how can I do that? First of all, it looks like this. It looks like me and you trusting God with what's next. I think we all have things in our lives that we're unsure how they're going to shake out. You know? Like, I got stuff like that. I think you maybe have stuff like that, too, where it's like, you're up against something, and you're like, man, I don't know how this is going to go. And it seems to happen in every season of my life, and maybe it's happening in this season of your life, too, where you're like, when I have the answers, it's easy for me to reconcile a faith step, because it doesn't require much faith at all. Like, when I'm up against something that I have a reasonable understanding of how I'll do this without God, I'm like, I'm good. Why am I good? Why are you good? Because it requires no faith. But whenever you're up against something that is going to require faith, you're like, wait a second. If God doesn't show up in this, I'm in real trouble. And what's amazing about this widow woman, she gave all that she had. Verse 42, she dropped those two small coins in, the equivalent of a penny. What we find out later in the story was, it wasn't a surplus amount, it wasn't a savings account. This is all homegirl had. This is it. And so she just says, I'm giving it all. What's interesting about this offering moment is, I don't know if you grew up going to church or not. I didn't grow up going to church necessarily, but I did have some church background a little bit. I would go to church with my friends, or I'd go to church with my grandmother or with my grandfather. My grandmother was Southern Baptist, and my grandfather was Episcopalian, so I got a lot of different experiences going to church with them. But something that their church did growing up is they would pass an offering plate. I don't know if you went to a church where they pass an offering plate. You go to like that church like that, right? Cool. Then I went to a church whenever I was in high school. They had an offering bag with a stick on it. It's kind of awkward. And you would kind of like, you would jab each other with it as you passed it. Like, that was always, I was like the class clown at church or whatever. And so as we would pass the offering stick bag thing, I was always jabbing it in the side of someone's rib or something like that. And that was always kind of fun, right? That was a very public offering moment. Somebody would usually sing a bad song during that time period. If you were that person, I'm sorry. You know, they were called quote-unquote specials, right? And so people would, there'd be like a cassette tape or a CD. Somebody would sing. And again, if you were that person, I apologize, but it probably wasn't that special. Like, it was fine, right? It was an offering special. And then everybody would sit down. And actually at Grace River, it's interesting, the first 5 years of Grace River, we passed a bucket. It's crazy. We had a worship pastor at the time. His name was Jordan Herrera. He helped start the church with me. He was my best friend, still is a very close friend of mine. We talk a couple times a month. And Jordan hated the buckets. But they were basically plastic KFC-looking buckets that we would pass. And we would do it like at the end of service or whatever. And it was like this moment where people, I always say, well, they can put their connection card in there, or they can, you know, give that way if they wanted to. And Jordan's like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, this is the most old school thing we did. And forever, I would not relent on it. Like, I was like, hey, no, I'm the lead pastor. I never did that to him except for this one moment where I say, no, I'm leading it. We got to do this. And then COVID happened. And then that was Jordan's moment to go, see, this bucket thing, now we can't touch what other people are touching. We got to drop the bucket thing. And he totally monopolized on the bucket thing with me, right? And I was like, okay, fine. So we had a guy make two of these boxes. And so now this is how people give at Grace River. They give with the offering drop boxes. And we talk about this. People also give online. But I also think that even this moment, we mentioned this at the end of services most Sunday mornings, where we say, thank you for giving online this week. For those who didn't, you can give in the offering drop box on your way out of here. Way less awkward than plastic buckets. Oh, speaking of awkward, my mic just fell off my... It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's cool. But like, there's a big thing here where it's like, this is like very similar to what they experienced in the Old Testament in a lot of ways, because they're giving in this way, and it's like, this is this same kind of like awkward giving moment that they're experiencing. Only this time, the person who gives the least amount is actually the person that gives the largest amount. So solve that word problem. Why is it the largest amount? Because she fully depended and trusted on her God. Because we find out later in the story, she gave absolutely all that she had. It was like the offering plate got passed by, or the offering bucket, or the offering stick bag thing, and she put both her feet in it and said, I'm all in. That's absurd. Just like, why would you do that? Like, to me, that is crazy behavior. But for her, it was like, no, I'm going to fully depend on this God. I'm fully trusting this God. To be a widow during this time period would mean there was no source of income for her. Nothing. There wasn't some Social Security thing. There wasn't some retirement benefit thing. There was nothing. Whatever money she had, she would have been given that money from other people. So she wouldn't have been able to work. There was no way for her to make money. And she has these two coins, the equivalent of a penny. And she gives both half cents back to God, in front of God. And it's the one time where Jesus goes, it was her faith. Not the faith of these wealthy people, because they gave out of a surplus, he said. They didn't give much compared to what they had. But this woman gave it all. She sacrificed. I think what's important is, what will you sacrifice next for God? Like, what are you willing to go, God, this belongs to you. Like, this is all yours. Like, I'll stand in the dang offering plate and say, this all belongs to you. The second thing is this, and that's the important thing about this story that we can learn about gratitude, is that it's measured in sacrifice, not size. Again, if you're talking about a measuring stick here, the disciples would have been so confused because they're like, how did this woman give more than the others? Well, she gave more than the others because she sacrificed more. Verse 43, Jesus called that time out, if you remember. He brings his disciples together and he says, hey, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who were making contributions. It's a big moment. She had done more. Why? Because it was a sacrifice. And I just wonder today, like, for a lot of us, man, it's been a while since we've really made a sacrifice. What we do instead is we look at what we have to spare, not what we have to surrender. So I could spare this and give this to God, but it almost feels like this is a contribution, or this is almost like charity back to God, whenever really God wants all of us to say, God, I'm all in. And this, by the way, isn't just measured in your financial giving. I think that is an easy spot to look at. But I think beyond that, is there anything in your life that you're like, yeah, God, you can have that, but you can have this part of me, but you can't have all of me? And I just think God's not satisfied until we're willing to say, God, you can have it all. But ultimately, that requires sacrifice out of all of us to say, God, I trust you with all my life. Now, this trust thing is interesting. I struggle with this myself. So if you think that it's that trusting God comes easy for me because I'm a pastor, you're wrong. Like, it's hard for me to trust God. And there are things in my own life that I'm like, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I talked about that earlier, that I'm like, man, I want to trust you in this. But what's amazing is the one thing that impresses this holy God, the one thing that impresses this Jesus, is people's faith. And what is connected to faith? Sacrifice. You think about, go do a study in the New Testament, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What you'll find is this. Jesus was often irritated with his disciples. Like, he was often frustrated with them, you know? And you know why he was frustrated with them? It wasn't because they were late, right? It wasn't because they were slobs. It wasn't because they weren't good friends to him. Sometimes they weren't. You know what his frustration with them was? It was their lack of faith. That was his and the moments where he was like, the moments where he would applaud people was whenever they would trust him, when they would live by faith. And that's what he does in this moment right here. Again, to read the Bible and make it a boring book is really a sinful thing. Like, you should make the Bible fun. Like, it's a fun book to read, okay? And when you think about this story, I just want you to picture this moment. There's these offering drop boxes. People are giving their offering, and Jesus is just sitting there watching all this happen. And they're all thinking, man, he's going to be impressed with the gift. They're bringing buckets of coins, right? He's going to be impressed. They're watching it all go through the yellow funnel thing at McDonald's. Oh, look at the Ronald McDonald house. This is crazy, right? Like, and then, out of nowhere, there's this poor widow woman who walks up with her two coins. She puts them around the funnel. It didn't really work like the funnel, okay? I'm just biblically out of context, but shaped like that for sure, okay? But her two coins would have made that sound because they were metal boxes. So her two coins being dropped in here would have sounded just like this. Just sounds like almost nothing compared to the buckets of money that were being given. And then that's when he calls the time out and he gathers this, like, okay, guys, what just happened is the largest offering of the day because she gave all. See, when it comes to gratefulness, it's not measured in size, it's measured in sacrifice. Like if you want to be a grateful person and defeat greed in your life in the month of December, the best way to do it is to live a life of gratitude and say, God, everything I have belongs to you. The third thing when it comes to gratitude is it moves me to give my own life back. See, I think at the end of the story is where we find out the significance of the story. Verse 44, it says this, "For they gave a tiny part of their surplus." They didn't sacrifice much. They gave this tiny part of their surplus. But she, it's almost insulting the way he says it. She, as poor as she is, has given everything, her entire livelihood on the line, doesn't know where her next meal is coming from, everything that she lived on. It's as if she pushed all the chips, her two chips that she had left, not potato chips, but poker chips. She pushed them all in. Potato chip people, you know what I'm talking about. They're good. Chips are good. I don't know. There could be health food because they're potatoes. You know what I'm saying? I feel like it's a vegetable. I mean, you could deep fry it. That makes it bad, but they have baked versions of it. I'm a plain potato chip guy. I get judged for that here at the office quite a bit about that because I just think the potato chip that you eat with your sandwich should complement the sandwich, not the reverse. You know what I'm saying? Whereas in other people that work here, younger guy, Jacob, he thinks they should all be flavored chips, salt and vinegar, spicy, barbecue, sour cream. That's sinful. Like, there's stuff like that. Just like, why can't it just be a plain? He judges me. He's like, you got a plain chip? What are you, poor? I'm like, yeah, maybe. You know? But she pushes her poker chips, not her potato chips, and puts them all on the table, all two of them, and says, hey, God, this all belongs to you. I said it earlier. It's only reasonable to give your life back to the same God who gave you his life. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is crazy. Romans 12, verse 1. I think there's a direct correlation between these two passages. Look at this. Romans 12, verse 1 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. So, this is in a bit of reference to the Old Testament here, because in the Old Testament, they would give sacrificial offerings to God, and they would sacrifice animals so they could be right with God. And these were temporary offerings because you would have to continually sacrifice these animals so you could be right with God. I mean, it's kind of a mess, you know? Think about it. Like, I got to bring this pigeon, or I got to bring this lamb, or I got to bring this goat, you know, this chicken, whatever, you know? It was never fish, by the way. I noticed that. Never fish as a sacrifice. But anyway, so it's something of value. That's why. But anyway, so he says, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Man, you want to worship God? The way to truly worship God is to give your life a living sacrifice. To do what this woman did. With this woman, it actually had nothing to do with money and everything to do with her heart. Because she literally, as the plate gets passed by, or as she has the moment to give her offering, she just goes and stands in it. Essentially, that's what she's doing. She's saying, this all belongs to my God. You see, I said it earlier, but I mean this. It's only reasonable that you would give your life back to the same God who gave you his. But what's wild for this woman is he's yet to do that. Jesus is still alive. He's not on the cross yet. He hasn't died. He hasn't resurrected. So she does all of this, and it's interesting because in Mark's gospel, this is the last moment. This is the last moment here in Mark's gospel where somebody did something good. Like, this is the last one before Jesus goes to the cross. And I think there's something to that, is that generosity should move you to something. That really gratitude when expressed rightly, will move you to action, which is the fourth thing, is gratitude doesn't stall out, it steps out, which, you know, all of us have good intentions. All of us want to be grateful people. All of us want to be generous people. There's not a single person that we would interview today if we were to talk to you, hey, do you want to be stingy? Do you want to be ungrateful? Do you want to be unthankful? Every one of us would go, no, we want to be thankful. We just did Thanksgiving. You know, we celebrated that. Some of us celebrated more than others. Cowboys fans, cool, right? But ultimately, like every one of us, whether you have a lot or you have a little, every one of us can be grateful for what God has done because you're here, because you know him, because he knows you, because he's going to provide for you, like he's given you everything. James chapter 2, verse 17, the half-brother of Jesus says this, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. So what James is not saying here, James is not saying that you have to work for your faith. That's not what he's saying. So I want to get that out there right now. James is also not saying that you can give your way to heaven or give your way into a right relationship with God. You can't. There is not an amount of money, amount of good deeds. You see, the reason why we can give back to this God who gave us everything is this whole idea of a debt that has been canceled. You and I had this and have this sin issue in our lives, and that sin is what keeps us away from this holy God. But what's amazing about this holy God is he provided a way for that debt to be completely canceled. So because of that, we should want to do some good. Like because of that, our hearts should overwhelm in gratitude and generosity, and man, we should want to be the best people on earth. I'm sick of the Mormons being that, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? They're so good, dude. They're the great. They're the best. You got a Mormon friend? They're the best, dude. They're so good. You want to know why they're the best? Because they're convinced they have to earn their salvation. That's the secret. I could teach you that, but it wouldn't be in the Bible, okay? But I'm not knocking Mormons. I have some great friends that are Mormons. They're great. I always invite them over, by the way, and inside. Like, they're always welcome. Because I want them to hear about Jesus, man, you know? And they'll tell you that they believe in Jesus, too, but they use the same terms, but they mean different things. I don't want to get into that today. But, like, because of God's grace, we look at the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, and he says, hey, this should produce good deeds. Like, and if it's not, if your faith doesn't, it's dead and useless. Like, gratitude means there will be action behind what I've experienced. If you've experienced the grace of God, if you've experienced the goodness of God, God didn't save you so you could sit in a seat. God saved you. He changed you. He gave you a new start. And the reaction to that should be gratitude. Should be, actually, God, all this stuff, it all belongs to you. All this, God, it's all yours. Like, to have a grateful heart as a result of it. So I got some next steps for you to consider. The first one is this. Next steps, I always like to give you handles on what to do after a talk like this. Like, okay, how do I go live this grateful life out? Well, the first one is as a church, we're taking what's called the 90-day giving challenge. Man, things are everywhere. My mic fell off. My stuff's falling everywhere. Okay, 90-day giving challenge. This is important. If you haven't heard me talk about this yet, here's my encouragement to you. Man, I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again because we're what I call like an every other week church, so people are here twice a month usually. And that's no knock. You're busy. All that kind of stuff. Snow happens, whatever. But you're here. Snow. You did it. It's crazy, man. 50% of our church doesn't give anything back to God. Another 30% of our church gives sometimes back to God. And then 20% of our church gives regularly back to God. And I just wonder if that could grow. Because as gratitude grows, so should our generosity. And as a church, we're doing a 90-day initiative where we're saying, hey, What if you trusted God every time you got paid to give back to him for the next 90 days? And you fill out this card, there's an online version of it as well, but it's basically saying, hey, for the next 90 days, I'll give back to God, I'll trust him. And if he doesn't provide, some crazy thing happens in your life, you don't feel blessed as a result of it. Now, what I mean by don't feel blessed, I don't mean that you're gonna get a raise, and I don't mean that your life is gonna get easy. But some challenge comes up in your life and you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I regret doing the 90-day challenge. We'll actually write you a check for everything you gave for 90 days and give it back to you. So this is a way to express gratitude with what I call a safety net. And I'm asking people in our church, 50 families have already committed. I'm praying for 100 people to say, you know what? I'll do that. And you can drop it in the offering drop box on your way out and just say, God, I'm committing this to you. You can do it online, whatever it may be. But I think this is a timely conversation, not necessarily for the church budget. Like, we're fine. I'm not worried about that. I just so desperately want you to experience what that woman experienced, which is her going, I'm all in. I sacrifice. I'm giving it back to the one who would one day sacrifice for me. So take the 90-day giving challenge. The second thing is identify what you need to surrender to him. You know, maybe it's not money. It could be. But maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's unforgiveness that you're holding towards someone. Like, what is it that you just need to surrender this holiday season? Wouldn't December be great if you got that off your plate? We're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And more than anything, I want you to be able to experience Christmas in a way where you just, your heart is full of gratitude. Like that you just can't even stand it. You've experienced God's grace on such a level that you're just like, wow, I can't wait to worship him. The third thing is, would you build a rhythm of gratitude that produces action? Like that your life just is churning out gratitude. That instead of churning out greed, instead of churning out selfishness, instead, what if we rewired our hearts and said, you know what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to have the action of gratitude, not just a one-time heart of gratitude, but the action of it. I'm going to build consistent rhythm in my life where I can just express that gratitude, find people to bless, share the gospel with people, serve somewhere, do something that makes a difference with your life. Here's what I want you to do. Bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. I just want you to picture the moment that we read about in Mark. I just wonder today, like, we read that story in Mark 12, and I can't help but to think about what it would have been like to be in that moment and experience Jesus calling a timeout and gathering his disciples and saying, look at what this woman has done. I wonder if the same could be said about us from Jesus. That whether we have a little or a lot, that when the metaphorical offering plate gets passed, that both of our feet would be in it. And we'd say, God, everything I have belongs to you. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that you give us the chance to express gratitude back to you. Lord, I pray for the next steps that you'd ask us all to take. Maybe it's the next step in the 90-day giving challenge, or the next step of forgiving someone or laying something down. God, we do trust you with our whole lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I hear a message like that, and I'm challenged, and I'm challenged to consider, as I think about that widow and giving all, like where I line up in that. And man, there's so much of my heart that just wants to surrender all to God. And there's some of my heart that's like, I want to surrender to God. And man, I just want to encourage each one of us to take those next steps. I know even for Jennifer and I, as it comes to what Chris just talked about with the 90-day giving challenge, we said, yeah, we're going to be in on that. We're going to take a step and just praying through that and taking that step. And again, I hope that you join us in that as well. I also want to let you know, like, as you exit the auditorium today, we have these yard signs available. They're kind of on the the straight across the exit doors there. You'll see those. Well, I encourage you to go plant one of those in your yard. And, you know, we got out of a series before this called Bless, where we've been talking about how we can make a difference with our neighbors, our coworkers, our the people around us. And may this one of the ways that you can do that in your neighborhood is just inviting people to experience what you've experienced. For a lot of us, we've been praying through our Francis list, our friends, our relatives, our acquaintances, our neighbors, our coworkers, our enemies, our strangers, the people that we want to help them experience God in their life. And maybe this is one way to do that. And so those are out there in the lobby. I encourage you to kind of pick those up on your way out. Why don't you stand with me as we close the service? Thank you so much for your faithful giving and serving here at Grace River. We're excited about what God is doing here, what he's going to do in the weeks ahead. Can't wait to see what he's going to do. I'm so glad that you're a part of it. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.